Chapter 17. Hey, Joe. Skippy's avatar appeared on my office desk right when I was in the middle of a jaw-stretching yawn. I covered my mouth with a hand.
Hi, Skippy. What's up?
Nothing's up. That's the problem. You look bored out of your mind. I'm hiding in my office, I gestured toward the closed door, to get away from the UN commissioners. Yes, I know I'm a coward for making Sims deal with them. She doesn't mind. She doesn't? But Jennifer is smart, dum-dum. Every time the commissioners ask to speak with her, she assigns some random E5 to give them a tour of something mind-numbingly dull, like the water filtration system. Now they avoid her. Shit. I wish I'd thought of that. Hence why I said she is smart. Thanks a lot. Did you come here to insult me? Sadly, no. Since you have plenty of time, I wonder if you can do a favor for me. A favor? He had never asked me for a favor before, not that I remembered. Instantly, my spidey sense started tingling. Like what? You can judge this fanfic contest for me. He might as well have said hoobu bajubu because none of that made any sense to me. Could you repeat that? A fanfic contest. You know, fiction written by fans? Duh. Okay. I felt a headache coming on. You're gonna have to break this down for me Barney style. What fans? My fan club. Who else would... What do you mean by fiction? They... Listen, numbskull. This would go a lot faster if you will shut up and let me talk. Sorry. The details of our missions are classified, so my fans have been speculating about just how astonishingly awesome I truly am. Some of them have been writing accounts of our missions, you know, the way they imagine them happening. So, somebody, not me, suggested a contest to write the best story. Obviously, I can't judge the contest. The last thing I need is my worshipful fans getting hopelessly depressed because I don't choose their story. If someone jumps off a bridge, I don't want anyone whining that I am somehow responsible. Your endless well of empathy is inspiring. Hey, for a measly $9.95 a month, I'm not acting as a freaking therapist. You charge people to join your fan club? No, of course not. Well, then what? Joining the club is free. The premium subscription includes my monthly newsletter, an email each morning with my inspirational thought of the day, and a personalized message twice a year. Inwardly, I was shuddering with horror what Skippy would consider an inspirational thought. You write a personal message to every one of your fans? Ha! As if. I created a submind to handle that for me. Skippy, those people think they are getting a message from you, not a Joe. You haven't seen the fan mail I get. Some of those people are scary. The last thing I want is any sort of personal contact with them. Whatever. You think I will be a neutral third party to judge this contest? No. I think my fans already have an incredibly low opinion of you, so really, you have nothing to lose. You are really not doing a good job of selling this to me, asshole. Hey, I can't control what my fans think. Listen, I already did most of the work for you. Like, I eliminated the ones that were written with crayons. All you have to do is read the semi-finalist entries. To make it super easy for you, the list is sorted by category. Like, these stories. A list popped up on my laptop screen. Ship you and Smythe, and these stories ship Sims and Frey, while, wait. Ship me and Smythe to where? Not ship, like stuffing the two of you into a shipping container, knucklehead. Google it. Will you do this for me or not? Mentally, I weighed the drudgery of scanning through a bunch of sketchy stuff from his fans with the benefit of doing a favor for him. If I could cash that in someday for him to do me a favor, it might be worth the effort. Plus, I could tell the commissioners that I am busy working on a big project for Skippy. Okay, I'll do it. Wow, that was a mistake. Without any preparation, I scrolled through the first entry on the list. After two pages, I stopped to ask myself WTF. Then I took Skippy's advice by Googling ship in the context of fan fiction. That led to me going down a rabbit hole, learning about things like Mary Sue and Slash and Fanon and crossovers. After reading a random sample of entries, I looked at the category Skippy created. About a third of the list involved shipping, like relationships, get it? Smythe and Sims, Sims and Frey, Smythe and me. You know what was weird? None of the ship stories were about people who actually were in a relationship like me and Margaret. And none of the gay ship stories were about people in our crew who actually are gay. Maybe that was too obvious for fanfiction? I didn't care about that. What bothered me was what I did not see. Hey, Skippy, I called. Is this list complete? Yes, why? Why isn't there a ship category for me and Adams? Well, duh. None of my fans think she belongs with you. Oh my, what a bunch of... They like Margaret. She is very popular. Are there any stories that are about actual, like, space battles and special ops stuff? Not this creepy fantasy relationship stuff. Creepy? You mean the stories about you and Smythe? Joe, I didn't think you were... I don't like reading any kind of, romantic... I used a polite word for what I'd read. Stuff about real people I know. It's just creepy. I work with Sims and Frey. I do not want to read someone's fantasy about them, get it? I can see your point. Okay, I'll take that type of story off the semi-finalist list. Thank you. Anything else? No, that should be good. Spoiler alert, it was not good. Skippy! Oh, fuck. His avatar appeared, facing away from me like he was too distracted to remember which side of the desk I was sitting at. What is it now? These stories. I jabbed a finger at my laptop. They are all about you saving the day with miraculous solutions to problems I caused. He turned around to look at me. What's the problem with... Oh, gotcha. You're concerned that the stories are so accurate my fans must somehow have access to classified info about our... These stories are not accurate. Really, Joe? Really? Are there any stories where I am not a complete and total moron? He looked down at the desk and shook his head. You are aware these stories were written by people in my fan club, right? People who think I am simply the most amazing, incredible asshole. Being, he sniffed, whoever lived. Of course they write stories where I am the hero. I can't believe not a single person thinks I am at least a competent leader. He wouldn't look at me. You ass. There are stories like that, aren't there? Not in the semi-final list? Because you threw them away. Can I plead the fifth on this? No, you cannot, you ass. Besides, the Fifth Amendment only applies in American courts, and you are a citizen of Skippistan, so... Gosh, did I forget to tell you about exciting recent amendments to the Constitution of our glorious People's Republic? How recent?
2 seconds ago?
The legislative process in Skippistan is a model of efficiency. It's a model of something. I flipped my middle finger at him. I changed my mind. Get someone else to judge this garbage contest. Hey, you promised to do a favor for me. Crap. He sounded genuinely hurt. Either he had gotten immensely better at lying or he really was stung by my refusal. Okay, I'll do it. Don't ask me for something like this again. Deal. Believe me, the less contact I have with my fans, the happier I am. I thought you loved to have people worship you. From afar, Joe. Besides, I need to keep access to myself exclusive or it won't be special, you know? Sometimes I wish I didn't have access to you, I muttered. Hey, you jerk, do you want me to read this crap or not? His answer was for his avatar to disappear. Note to self. Do not volunteer to do favors for the beer can. I won't bore you with details of the testing at Goody Locks or the ongoing argument I got from the UN commissioners and the science nerds. We conducted 4 tests there, and Skippy was pretty much too exhausted to continue. The first 2 demonstrated Skippy's ability to warp a sun-like star and his ability to control the resulting small flare. Before the 2nd set of tests, I ordered Valkyrie to vent a big cloud of fuel to create a cloud roughly the same distance from the star as the Jupiter cloud was from our sun. Tests 3 and 4 pretty conclusively proved that a series of flares could gradually push a gas cloud away from the star without scorching a world at the distance of Earth's very slightly elliptical orbit. That's it. I wanted to head for home at that point, despite the urging, then strong urging, then pleading, and finally outright demands from the UN staff to conduct at least 2, maybe 5 more tests. Skippy, I groaned as I sat my ass in my office chair after another argument with the science staff. Is there any point to conducting more tests here? Nope. Could you give me a little more detail on that? Nopety nope. That is not exactly... Ugh. That answer is no, Joe. There is no point to creating more flares here. We have all the data we need. To be clear, I have all the data I need, since your science monkeys are totally useless for analyzing the results. They are not my monkeys. You know what I mean. Are you hoping we can fly straight home now? Kinda, I said. Yeah. Unfortunately, we shouldn't do that yet. While I have plenty of info on the effect flares have on a gaseous cloud, we need to wait for the star to settle down. It is not clear whether the effect of my artificial flares is cumulative. That doesn't sound good. You might destabilize a freaking star? No! No way, Jose. You do not need to worry about me causing your sun to explode or anything silly like that. What I'm talking about is the uncertainty of how long it takes a star to return to its normal state after an artificial flare. If it takes longer than expected, we might have to stretch out the time between flares, and that could slow down the whole process, like, by a lot. It's important to know. Shit, how long do you need to wait to be sure? 2 weeks. 12 days, to be specific. Damn it. It's not worth flying back to Earth and all the way out here again. No, it is not. However, I waited for him to finish his thought. When he just cocked his head at me, I asked, What? Well, while we're waiting, there's no sense hanging around here. Oh, crap. What harebrained scheme have you got cooked up now? Hey, why did you assume I... Okay, I guess that's fair, he muttered. Sorry. What do you want to do? We now have a bunch of Maxalt's warships and not enough spare parts. The kiddies threw into the deal a whole ship full of spares. You checked it out back then and said all that gear was in decent condition. Are you now telling me you were wrong? Like that's ever gonna happen! You have been wrong before, you ass. Oh, I meant no way I am going to admit to being wrong. Shit. I had to laugh. Okay, what is wrong with the spares we have? There is not enough of them, Joe. At Admiral Zhao's proposed op-tempo, we... Wait, what? What? You said op-tempo. Yes, Knucklehead, it means operational tempo. That pace at which operations are conducted from... I know what it means, Skippy. It's just weird hearing military lingo from you. I'm sorry, what were you saying? I was saying that if the UN Navy continues to conduct operations at a pace similar to their recent history, we will run out of Maxalt's spare parts within 23 months. At that point, the Navy will have to take parts from one ship to keep others running. That is the best-case scenario. My guess is having advanced battle cruisers will tempt you excitable monkeys into all kinds of ill-advised adventures, and the new ships could run into maintenance shortfalls within a year. Or less. There is also a complication. Burying my head in my hands, I grunted, Of course there is. The kitties were sneaky. They knew the Beatles would check the spares for key components, so there are plenty of those included. But since the Giraptha don't know how senior species ships operate, they didn't know what to look for. The Maxalts made sure there are a very limited quantity of certain vital components. For example, the spaceship has more than enough of the, seeds that form the anchor for creating virtual jump drive coils, but to activate those seeds requires a... How do I explain this? Joe, you know how to change the brakes on a car? Yeah, sure. Okay, so you need new brake pads and rotors, right? But you also need a brake puller to get the old disc off. Imagine if that brake puller is a one-time use item and you have more pads and rotors than pullers. The seeds for creating a virtual jump drive coil energy field are worthless without the activators that shape the field as the seed generates it. Those activators are disposable, Joe. Each of them can only be used once. Crap. So we have plenty of seeds, but not enough activators? Exactly. Your next question is whether we can make more activators? Yeah. The answer is, sort of. We have a very limited amount of the exotic materials required to manufacture the activators. My point is, the items needed for sustainment are common aboard most Maxalt ships, but not aboard the ships we acquired. Like I said, the kitties were very sneaky. And, I asked the question, fearing I would regret it, you have a wacky scheme to get some of these goodies for us? It's not a scheme, Joe. Whatever it is, if it involves us engaging the kitties, I'll need to get approval from UNEF Command, and that will take months, even if we're lucky. You won't need approval from anyone. Hey, apparently you haven't been paying attention, so do you want to hear my plan or not? That depends. You are sure this is not going to be a lunatic scheme to rob a Maxalt's auto parts store? No. Good. Because we have a bunch of UN civilians aboard, and they are all waiting for me to do something reckless out here. What if I told you that I might know a place where a large supply of the parts we need could be just lying around for us to take? If you told me that, I would say you're full of shit. Ugh, Joe, what happens every time you fail to trust the awesomeness? I sighed. I regret it. Okay, did all these parts fall off the back of a truck? No. All we need to do is visit some old friends. Old friends? Not exactly friends. Remember that Maxalt's battle group we stranded outside the galaxy? The ships that were traveling to Earth before we stopped them? Holy shit! I stared at him, expecting that he was joking. He wasn't. Yeah, I remember. I bet they remember us, too. You think those ships are still out there? For sure they aren't here. They have no way to get back to this galaxy. Right, but, I mean, those ships could be anywhere. Wouldn't they, like, cannibalize most of the ships to give a handful of ships a chance to get back to the galaxy? That is one option. If they were stupid. The kitties may be supreme assholes, but they are not stupid. They would quickly have run the numbers and determined there is no way any of their ships could reach a habitable world, even if they stripped components off all the other ships. Their jump drives simply would not survive creating the number of wormholes required to reach the edge of this galaxy. They would have concluded that their only chance for survival is to wait around the wormhole, hoping it will reopen. Ha! I couldn't help laughing. Sorry, that was kind of a jackass thing to do. I apologized. The Maxalts were our enemies. They were renowned as fanatically arrogant assholes, absolutely convinced of their supreme right to rule the galaxy. So, screw them. But, as a starship captain, I empathized with the crews of those stranded ships. That could have been us. Several times it nearly was us, stranded in the achingly lonely void between stars where the light of the nearest sun is a cold pinprick in the darkness. It was my duty to prevent the enemy from attacking Earth, and trapping those ships on the other side of a dormant wormhole had accomplished that objective. With my mission complete, I could feel satisfaction about a nearly impossible job done well. I could also afford to regret the loss of enemy lives because I didn't want to lose my humanity. If we could have stopped those ships without killing the crews, we would have taken that option. Maybe. It depended on the level of risk involved. I like to think I would have at least considered alternatives if there had been any. I feel you, brother. Skippy reached up a tiny fist for me to bump. Joe, the AIs of those ships are dumbasses compared to me, but I can't imagine the terror they felt when they discovered they had no concept of the number zero. He shuddered. Although, I am super proud of that trick. It was truly awesome. I fist bumped him again. It never hurts to feed Skippy's massive ego. You really think those ships are just hanging around the wormhole emergence point where we left them? It's the only logical thing to do. Their hope of rescue is close to nothing, but that is still better than nothing, you know? Wow. It was my turn to feel a shiver run up my spine. All the kitties on those ships, fighting over limited resources. That's gotta be a Lord of the Flies scenario. Not necessarily, he sniffed. That whole notion is sketchy. Lord of the Flies assumes a stressful situation will bring out the worst in everyone, but that is not true. For example, on Earth in the 1960s, a real-life group of six boys was stranded on the Tongan island of Ata for a year. Instead of turning on each other, they cooperated and cared for each other. Humans are social animals, Joe. Look at what happens after natural disasters like hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, that sort of thing. People help each other.
You think the Max Salks did something like that?
Oh, he snorted.
No way, dude. They are assholes to the core. My guess is the captains of their ships turned on their crews the instant they realized the situation was not a bad dream.
Okay, then what do you suggest we do?
I opened that Super Duty wormhole again at a different emergence point so we can go through and observe. If the kitties have any sense at all, they will be broadcasting a distress call on repeat, so we shouldn't have any trouble finding them. They would have stealth fields and defensive shields shut down to conserve power. Those ships would be easy for us to disable.
Huh. Let me think about this, okay? How long would it take to get to this side of that wormhole, wake it up, go through, all that?
That's the good news, Joe. Why I suggested we try it. The closest wormhole to Goodilocks here can connect to a wormhole that is less than a day's flight to the Super Duty wormhole. We could get there and back in 12 days, assuming we don't spend more than 10 days shopping at Kitty Mart.
Kitty Mart? I laughed.
Good one.
Our shopping trip to Kitty Mart sucked. Skippy did his magic thing of waking up the Super Duty wormhole, designating it to emerge a quarter light year from where we had stranded the battle group. He pinged the wormhole spy feature to verify there were no ships waiting on the other side to ambush us, and we went through. Immediately, Bilby reported receiving a distress call that repeated every 43 seconds. It was basic stuff. A plea for help from any Maxalt ships in the area, a demand for assistance from any client ships, and identification of the battlegroup commander.
That's it? I asked. No details on how many ships are out there? Number of survivors? Anything like that?
No, General Dude, sorry.
Bilby sounded uncharacteristically mopey.
I was hoping it would be easy, you know? I can tell the transmission is coming from a Maxalt battleship. There are some other signals also.
Like what?
Low-powered stuff, like the guide beacons on docking bays, the little light above airlock doors, the...
Sims was amazed.
Bilby, you really can see an airlock status from a quarter light year away?
Oh, sure, no problemo. The sensors on this ship are pretty sweet. Plus, there's not a lot of ambient light way out here, you know?
I do. My XO glanced at me, and we both looked at the main display. It was empty, other than the symbol for Valkyrie in the center, the wormhole we had just come through, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. Fiddling with the controls on the armrest of my chair, I zoomed out 5 light years, 50 light years, 500. Still nothing. Interstellar space is empty, but intergalactic space doesn't even have stars. For a moment, my brain idly wondered about the density of the interstellar medium around us. Were there any hydrogen atoms around us at all, or just hard vacuum? Then I decided I didn't care enough to ask Skippy, because he would ramble on and on about Nerdnik stuff until I regretted opening my mouth. Also, we had work to do.
Bilby, I asked, how many ships can you identify?
Based on the signals I mentioned, at least 7. Possibly 3 more. The distress call is omnidirectional and it's bouncing off something in the area.
As he spoke, 7 red symbols appeared in the display and 3 yellows. Before making a decision, I took a moment to weigh the risks. All right. Program a jump to take us 6 light hours from that formation. I figured that was a safe distance. No way would the stranded kitties waste power to maintain stealth fields around any of their ships. We jumped from a quarter light year away to merely a quarter light day from the source of the distress call. Bilby announced there was definitely 1 star carrier he could identify with multiple ships attached. Only the 1 battleship was generating enough power for its radiators to get rid of excess heat, and that was coming from a single reactor.
Weapons hot, I ordered. Let's assume only that 1 ship is potentially hostile. I want their jump drive, shield projectors, and missile launchers taken out ASAP.
Check, Mamet agreed from the weapons station. That part, at least, was easy. Our opponent was a Maxalt battleship, a relatively new design that was heavier protection than a battlecruiser,
but was almost as fast. The speed came at the cost of much greater power requirements, and the engines were operating close to their limit, so they needed a lot of downtime for maintenance. Fast battleships sound like they would be a great asset until you consider the enormous drain on resources for sustaining such a beast in combat-ready condition. That's why most navies relied on a mix of battlecruisers and slower battleships. Well, anyway, that's enough nerd talk from me. From 6 light hours away, we hadn't been able to get precise targeting data, so for the attack, we first jumped in only 10 light minutes away for a better look. Then, before the enemy had any possibility of detecting gamma rays from our inbound jump, we arrived right on top of them and quickly rendered that fast battleship incapable of moving or fighting. "Sit rep, Skippy," I ordered. "What do you see over there?"
123 souls. His voice was so quiet it was almost a whisper. I kind of thought there would be more. That was a reinforced battle group. Thousands of kitties were aboard those ships.
Joe,
he looked at me. What have we done? I clenched my jaw. We prevented them from killing billions of people on Earth.
I know, but Skippy, war is hard. Killing the enemy is hard, I said softly.
This was a different side of Skippy. He joked about being the king of empathy, and most of the time he was extremely flexible about matters of morality, but I could tell he was deeply shaken by seeing the results of the action we had taken years ago.
You should worry if you don't care about the cost.
I guess so, he mumbled.
Do you want details? Please.
I'm having to guess how the kitties got to this point, but somehow they fabricated hibernation caskets. It looks like originally there were over 140 of them. Some have failed. The chosen few are in hibernation. I am not detecting any other life signs. No one is awake aboard any of those ships, and only that one battleship has survivors.
Is the AI over there waking up any of the sleepers?
All of the sleep caskets just activated their revival mechanisms, but there is no master AI over there.
What?
That ship does not have an active master AI. Everything is being run by crudely networked local systems. If you give me a few seconds, I can scan their databases. They appear to have no cybersecurity.
Do it, I ordered, hoping he was already done with the scan.
Skippy? I prompted him 15 long seconds later.
Huh?
Oh, sorry. This is fascinating. The master AI of that battleship is not just powered down. It is dead.
Interesting.
That gives me an idea for how to wipe out the AIs of other ships.
What happened? The kitties tore out the substrate?
No. Essentially, they were too impatient. If they had waited, the AIs could eventually have rebooted from the library files in the archives, the ones that weren't corrupted. Instead, the kitties panicked and kept interrupting the normal boot-up process, trying to force their AIs to bring the jump drive navigation systems online quickly.
They must have been fearful of an attack by us, or worried they would attack each other. All of their captains must have realized how screwed they were, and there would be a fight for resources. Anywho, the result is the AIs got thoroughly dorked up. Their internal communication architecture is scrambled beyond repair.
Are you telling me that the ship is defenseless?
Not entirely. However, any defense would be conducted by isolated systems without coordination. I wouldn't worry about killer robots over there, Joe. I can extend my presence to take direct control and either shut them down or send them in the wrong direction. The major problem is that I can't seem to stop the revival process from here. The kitties likely have locked out their caskets from external access. Somebody needs to go over there and halt the process manually.
Shit. I do not want any complications. A bunch of pissed off kitties waking up is a problem I don't want.
I might be able to interfere with power flow, slow down the revival process a bit, but there is only so much I can do from here. My usual bag of tricks won't work. The kitties have isolated their caskets from external connections.
How long until kitties wake up in a bad mood?
46 to 51 minutes, depending on how successful I am at screwing with the mechanisms over there.
I turned to look behind my seat.
Smythe?
He was already out of his chair.
On it, sir. Permission to launch the Ready Bird?
Wait. I held up an index finger.
Skippy, do we absolutely need that battleship for our shopping trip? We could nuke it and get spare parts from other ships, right?
Well, that battleship is convenient one-stop shopping, Joe. The kiddies appear to have stripped other ships of anything useful and crammed all the gear aboard that battleship.
Damn it. Okay, Smythe, promise me that you and your team of adrenaline junkies will not take undue risks.
Me, sir?
He asked with a wolfish grin.
Yes, you. Launch the Ready Bird, but let your combots lead the way. Interrupting the revival process is a secondary objective, understood? We need spare parts. We don't need frozen kiddies.
Understood, he acknowledged, and sprinted out the door.